Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warned you.
We're fighting technical difficulties here.
Whew. Things are crazy. We need to get Millie Bobby Brown in here
with her PA skills
to look at our stuff for us.
Well, because the heart of our show might be fucked up, so bear with us this week. I'm going to try to fix it or replace it before the next show.
Or at least Beaver with us.
But thank you, patrons, because without you, I would be doing that instead of eating. So. God bless you, everyone.
Everyone.
Welcome to the show.
We're doing Scream Kings.
Scream Kings.
Today we're doing Escape from New York. Now,
you got two Scream Kings. There's a multitude of Scream Kings in this movie.
Yeah, like we picked it for Tom Atkins. But.
Looking right past good old Curtie Russ.
Freddie and I were arguing about Curtie Russ or not, if he's a Scream King. But
he has a genre.
He has three horror movie credits.
That counts.
That's what our criteria was. Yeah. It was at least three big ones.
I mean, is John Carpenter a Scream King?
Absolutely.
Definitely. Lee Van Cleef, I think, has done a number of bad genre things.
Yeah, I think of him more Western.
Those are the good things he's done.
Yeah.
But after that,
yeah,
he was in, a bunch of, garbage.
I didn't
know.
And then this.
Like the Carradines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They had some rough movies in their later years.
In their repertoire.
Is this when you get to bring up riff tracks and all the movies they've done?
Well, that's where I see them.
Well, and that's Lee Van Cleef definitely been in a couple of MST3K movies.
Yeah.
Nice. I like his little earring and Escape from New York.
Yeah.
I started to say to New York, like as a tourism.
Escape to New York.
Don't want to go escape there.
He's trying to get to the prison.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a grab bag. This is a combo pack.
Charles Cyphers.
This is a combination Taco Cyphers. Bell KFC.
The most pleasant of dawns is in this.
Yeah.
We got a scream queen.
We got Adrian Barboobs.
As I like to say.
Nick Castle helped write the movie.
Yeah.
Deborah Hill.
Has a high horror pedigree for not really being a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love big casts.
Don't you love that?
Yeah. It's like people. and when they have work too. But I love big casts.
Yeah.
And it's fun to pick out, like, oh, look who it is.
It's that guy.
Look who it is. Yeah,
Isaac Hayes is up in this. Not that he's a Scream King, but he's in it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
He certainly is. So,
Harry Dean Stanton.
Definitely forget about him.
Yeah. And fucking Ernest Goddamn Borgnine.
Oh, yeah, Ernie Borgnine's in there, too. He's done some more stuff.
Bringing the emotion. But anyway, we'll get there later.
It qualifies like crazy.
Yeah.
Amy was not here last time.
Nope.
When we talked about Barbarian.
It wasn't. I love that movie, though.
Yeah.
In case anybody was wondering.
She was in Canada with him, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good time?
Had a great time.
Eat some Burger King.
Is that the most important part of a trip, Freddie?
It's my favorite Burger King I've
it's
ever
Canadian been. Burger King.
She brought one polite. Of those Burger King crowns home.
They gave me a crown. I didn't ask for it. It came on my tray.
They're like, take this, bitch.
Yeah.
They had poutine, you said.
They had poutine at this Burger King. So it's the Burger King that's on Clifton Hill in Niagara Falls, Ontario. So it's in smack dab in just tourist trap central, which I kind of love.
Oh, I love trash.
Yes. There's like neon everywhere. The Ripley's is right there. You know, it's that kind of place.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, do they have Do they have the t-shirts in Canada like they do in America? Like, I'm not gay, but $20 is $20.
I didn't see anything. I did say, cannabis shirts, but like with the Canadian flag with a pot leaf on it.
Were they airbrushed?
No.
No. Is that no longer a thing, I wonder?
I didn't see any airbrushing.
Airbrush and fringe with the beads on the bottom.
On a glass frame, a square glass frame and a cardboard.
Yep.
Or a love.
And you know to buy it in a tourist trap or win it at a carnival.
Carnival. Yeah. Exactly. That's where I got it. This Burger King, on top of it, it has a roller coaster. I think it's Frankenstein themed.
Is it operational?
It definitely is Frankenstein themed because you showed me the picture.
There's a giant, I posted it in our Discord and it's, I wonder if I can put it on my Instagram. I'll think about it. there's a big old ass Frankenstein on top of it eating a burger.
You didn't ride it.
I didn't ride the roller coaster, although being inside the Burger King as the roller coaster was rattling through was interesting.
Did it trigger diarrhea in anybody in the Burger King?
No, it was just like a shaking building. You're like, what is that? Underneath it was a mirror maze called the Crystal Caves, and it had like an animatronic like vulture out front trying to get you to come in. It was just my kind of place.
It's the Gatlinburg of the Great White North.
Hell yeah.
Well, my favorite
Pigeon Forge.
It's the Pigeon Forge of the Great White North.
Okay, my favorite things that she showed us from her trip is the Wax Museum and these horrific celebrities look alike.
This was wax creation.
It was literally the second tier. I was like, oh, look, the Tussauds Museum wants $25 for a ticket and this place wants $13. Well, guess where I'm going?
You're like, I know what Jimmy Fallon looks like. I don't need to see a very accurate representation.
I want a scary one.
That was scary.
It is more fun almost to see the
slightly off.
Yeah, the Cronenberg pet detective.
Yeah. Yeah. There is. Yes, I have an Ace Ventura. Like, that's terrifying.
You get Brundle wax figures there.
Yeah,
they had
some of the fun ones.
An Adam Sandler that looked like Kevin Nealon.
It was all wrong.
It really fucked with my head.
Everything was wrong, but they had really cool shit in there. Like, they had a pumpkin head.
See?
Like, who's going to have a pumpkin head anymore?
Anymore in this day and age.
When was the last pumpkin head
movie? It's been a while.
Yeah. They had a great
alien. Bloodwings, right? With Roger Clinton, the president's brother.
Did we see that? We need to.
I feel like we did.
We're gonna.
We should. Maybe we'll watch it.
Okay. They had, like, the scary part, because every wax museum has a little freaky part.
Yeah, right.
And they had like a great Pennywise from the new It.
Oh.
That was animatronic that moved. And I was scared.
So this is fresh.
Yeah.
They're not just like showing you old shit.
I prefer the old shit though.
Yeah.
Like the really weird stuff where like the clothes are dingy. But you know they weren't always dingy.
You're like, oh, look, McMillan and wife.
It's kind of ghostly the way they're dusty and stuff.
I did not see a Jim Rockford in there though.
No.
Bum me out.
Man, they should definitely make a Jim Rockford wax museum exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Amy's in her Rockford Files era right now.
That's my era.
Is it Stephen J. Cannell?
Yeah, I think that is a Stephen J. Cannell.
We should just start a wax museum that's all Stephen J. Cannell productions.
Can we make a wax representation of the typewriter animation?
The beginning.
Question, was it better or worse than the wax museum from Wings? Remember that episode?
Oh, that was great.
This one was better. The Wings one was fun. Yeah. I'd go to that too.
It wasn't very big.
No. Anyway, Canada's fine. It's a fine enough place. I was literally like 10 minutes into you. That's as far inside as I got, really. Yeah. Like, I do not have a phone plan that allows me to make calls internationally because I'm cheap. And where do I go? And I was like, well, the minute I cross the border, I'm not going to have a signal anymore. That's not true. Amy, you are so close to the American border. I still had a signal like several blocks in and definitely at my hotel. So that goes to show you how far into Canada I went. But it was very nice. Your squirrels are black. It was weird.
Just the tip.
Yeah.
Just the tip of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We have some black squirrels.
I did hear. Apparently, it's still a hopping place to commit suicide. Is this dark? Because mom and I went to an antique store and this man just started, he's like, do you guys want to hear something really gross?
You want to see something really scary?
Always.
And my mom looked like, no. And I said, yes.
Did he work there? I can't remember.
He worked at the antique store.
Yeah.
He was talking about like some guy wimped out on jumping. So he just sliced his throat in his car in the parking lot.
In the antique mall parking
lot? No, at the Niagara Falls.
He's like, when that I was done wrapping up the blood, yeah. I came that, in and dusted off yeah. all the curio cabinets.
That seems more horrific than jumping off
the falls. Yeah, I feel like I'd much rather jump off the falls.
I don't know. Have you been close to this shit? It's
pretty intense.
That's
people
why
live quite a quite often. Oh. Somebody just lived in 2019.
Oh.
According to the Wikipedia
I definitely
page.
Wouldn't want to live if I was trying to kill myself.
But like, it's apparently still a hopping place. Like once a month, they say. Anyway, that was dark, but you can't help but think about it when you're up there because you've heard all the stories about people going over in barrels, and then you start thinking, I could just jump off of here and never exist again because it's very big.
Yeah.
But then you do it and you end up like a head in a jar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who wants that?
I grew up with someone who tried to commit suicide by jumping off of one of our bridges in the Ohio River. Mm-hmm. She just ended up in a wheelchair.
See, and just yeah. if you don't know for sure...
Her attitude changed.
We
though.
Should not be talking about this shit. If you need help, reach out. What is the new number? 3-1-3-1-1-9-8
The suicide assistance.
0-1-1-9-8-1-9
Call if you're in a place that's bad and you're thinking about this. Don't go to Niagara Falls or not. It could restore your joy because it's cool.
988
Call 988 in the United States.
988 in the U.S.
And even a little bit into Canada, you could probably call
I like how
it.
You could see the falls from your hotel room.
Or you can go to 988lifeline.org.
Was it soothing to hear all the rushing water?
Yeah, we left the window open at night, even though it says, please do not leave this window open.
Why not?
Because I think it fucks with the AC or whatever, but it's like...
It's too humid.
Dear Sheraton, your rooms are stuffy. So we would leave the window open all night, and yeah, I could hear it all night.
Did you have
Dude,
to?
That'd be amazing. Yeah. I would definitely leave the window open.
It wasn't cheap.
Sorry, Canada.
But yeah, we were
it's
on
like
the
a free white noise machine.
Did you have to use the bathroom more often, hearing all the rushing water?
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
I concur. I haven't been, but I believe you.
My mom won a bunch of money in their casino.
Whoa. Oh.
But she is very upset by how Canadian money feels like plastic, and it's too slippery, and you can't fold it.
Oh.
Oh, do they have strip clubs there, too?
They have the crazy strip clubs, according to many comedians.
Because I know, like, but a lot of people from Ohio go to, like, Detroit and cross the bridge there.
Freddie?
I did it.
What's it called? Where is it?
Oh, the name of the club?
No, the name of the area. What's that
Windsor,
called?
Canada?
Windsor,
Canada? Yeah. Yeah. They had, like, a super high-end strip club there. By super high end, I don't know what that means exactly, because it felt like other strip clubs, but strip some of the dancers spoke French.
I just imagine the Niagara Falls strippers are fun.
I got weed.
Yeah.
I bought a drink, a THC drink.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it was a delight.
She meant that as a weed drink, not like I've got weed, I bought a drink.
No, I bought a drink with weed.
She bought a weed
in
drink.
It. And the bud tenders in Canada are just exactly as you'd expect them to be. Lovely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Amy went to,
I went to
Niagara Falls, and
what'd
I all
you guys
I got
do?
Was a, all I got were coffee crisps.
I bought you a magnet.
You did. I watched so much TV while you were gone.
Yeah, what you boys been up to?
Oh, we got a new deck.
Yeah, you did.
And it was
just in time.
It was a thing. I mean, I'm real happy, and they did a great job, but it was a. We had trucks and
porta potties
and
driveway.
They come to get the porta potty.
They're supposed to no later than tomorrow. Are they supposed to remove it? Because we're getting dirt delivered, and we got to move that shit, so that we can.
Oh,
get,
you're trading shit out.
Yeah, we're trading shit out. We're getting compost, manure. So
will it smell better or worse in your driveway now? Who knows?
It doesn't smell bad to me.
I like it too.
Yeah.
But that's what happened with us, and it was we had to take the dogs on a lot of walks because they couldn't go in the backyard while the guys were there. And but it looks beautiful. I'm very excited about it. We're doing
we
a lot
to
of yard
it.
Work.
Yeah, it's
the,
nice.
The crew got to come over and experience it.
Yeah. And you have a nice deek.
Thanks for the deek. Thanks for saying we got a nice deek.
I love
when
y'all
sit
on
my deek. I love having friends over on the dick.
I love it.
Yeah.
Dick?
She loves dick.
Sure. And?
Snoring dogs.
Your deck.
Thank you.
Patreon.
Have many more times.
.com/NOTLP is where you go to get our extra stuff for the money that you pay us. We just posted Origins, where we were talking about Peter Falk had just died.
Yeah, that was the biggest news of that episode.
That was it. And we had a Tropicana that we recorded late last week about losing shit and finding it.
Yeah.
And are your parents a dummy? When did you find out?
Yeah.
Are your parents a dummy? I like the clickbaity versions of these topics that you've made.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Do you work for BuzzFeed?
Yes.
It reminds me of that.
Not anymore. They laid me off.
We just saw that Instagram post. I think it was Movie Meltdown probably, but it was like, where has Tim Daly been? And it showed like this wing star, where has he been? It had him, as you remember him, on the left, and on the right, there was like an 800 pound man on oxygen. And it made me laugh.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Tim Daly is, he's hanging out with Tay Leone.
Yeah.
He's
another person from back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Another person from back in the day.
Love Tay Leone.
Yeah.
Do you think they sit around and talk about the past together? They're like, remember the 90s?
She's like, I was in Bad Boys. And he was like, I was in the Storm of the Century.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, yeah.
What was that show she was on?
That you was, know. I know it.
Hold Her on. Big show?
It was.
She was like a news reporter, right?
Oh, kind no, of that's thinking. Not the one I'm thinking of.
What was it?
She had a sitcom in the 90s.
Yeah. She was on a show on Fox that was kind of a Dharma and Greg-ish show, and it was called Fly.
Flot?
Fly. It was like Fly Away something.
It wasn't Spanglish.
No. But
that's a movie.
But anyway, it was like her and like this nebbish dude, and she was like a free spirit. It was very Dharma and Greg.
The Naked Truth?
Yes. That's reporter tabloid. Show.
Yes, that's the reporter show. I watched that. Yes.
Yeah, that was her, and it had Holland Taylor in it, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look at Flying High, Flying Blind. I think it was Flying Blind.
Flying Blind, coming up.
Was that
just
it?
Just because
she used to be married to David Duchovny.
I know, but apparently he was slinging it around all over town because he's a sex addict. And if you heard the air quotes, just know that that's my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
I love
Flying
David Duchovny,
Blind
though.
Existed.
I actually really thought she was hot. From that, like, well, that was like, I think her first thing, and I was, you know, young.
This short-lived Fox sitcom featured Neil, a shy, repressed guy who meets the girl of his dreams, Alicia, who is gorgeous and wild. Amazingly, they begin to date, and the striking contrast between their personalities provides the basis for comedic tension.
Starman Greg.
Anybody we know? Who was the other lead?
The other lead was someone named Corey Parker.
I can't lose.
What a bland name. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But yeah. Clea Lewis was on there. You know her.
Oh, yeah.
She's great.
Are you thinking about Clea DuVall?
No, Clea Lewis. This actor.
Oh, yeah.
She has a lot of voiceover work, but you know her from like comedies.
Sure.
I know her.
Anywho.
So, Tay Leone.
How did we get here? Oh, Tim Daly.
Tim Daly's balls deep in Tay Leone.
But prior to that, we got to Tim Daly through something you said.
Wings.
Wings.
Wings. He said it.
But he said wings. Pensacola wings of gold. How y'all like it?
Oh, whoa.
This has been quite the intro.
Yeah.
When you get back together.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, is it true? Is Tim Daly actually Tyne Daly's brother and his sister?
Is it true?
Really?
Yes, it's true.
It's Tyne and Tyne Daly. Yeah.
What creative names.
Yeah.
I'd like to call him Tyne Daly. And if I ever meet him, that's what I'm going to say. But I'm going to say it as if I just think that's how it's pronounced.
It turns out it's pronounced Timmy.
Timmy.
Is there like a third brother named Tom?
Tom.
Tim Tom Tyne? That was the parents' thing?
Tang.
Tang Daly.
I drink my Tang Daly.
That's good.
Every single day.
Or if you're going in letter order, it might be T-O.
T-O.
Or Till.
Tanner.
Tanner Daly.
Tanner. Tanner.
Tanner.
Tanner, where is Top Mom?
Top Mom.
We were just talking about Top Mom on Origins. Yeah. You guys. Come hang out with us there. Yeah.
Patreon.com/NOTLP. I like to say it again so people know we need money. Because shit's frying over here.
You're frying over
here. Sparks are flying off of stuff. Things are on fire.
What?
Steam.
There's steam. Steam. So much.
Flames.
Steam. Flames.
Flames.
But thank you for your support. And you guys ready to move on?
You betcha.
I have to be very coordinated for everything to work right now because of the fragile nature of our mixer.
Strap in.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Hey!
Scary, huh?
Somebody shut that baby up.
Huesera the Bone Woman. What you heard there was a scene from the movie where it opens with all of these women going to this giant statue of the Virgin Mary that's gold with all these rays, golden rays coming off of it.
Yeah.
And they're like praying. And what you gather is that the lead is desperately trying to get pregnant. One moment, I have to pull it back up because I had like Wang stuff up on my phone. But Valeria, played by Natalia Solyan, she's a young, I don't know that the characters are married, which for a Mexican movie, that kind of surprised me that they were trying to have a baby, but they might have been unmarried. It feels like that's less common.
It's a Catholic
there.
Kind of place.
Super
sometimes.
Catholic. Yeah, she has this, her partner, Raul, who I guess is like a part-time musician, and she's like a crafty person. She's making the
donuts.
What do you call it? You put the baby in it at night? The
bassinet.
Crib. Bassinet.
Thank you. The crib that you put the baby in at night, yeah. If I am understanding
you
how this
find
works.
The word for crib?
Bassinet?
No, it was a crib.
Oh.
This is a handmade crib.
The box you put the child in?
You know, that thing, it's squarish. So she's making that in the opening, and it's all that's kind of fascinating, like the intricacy
sure.
of Dr. Lecter putting this thing together. And it has a good vibe to the movie. Like, it kind of eases you into the environment. You're kind of like, ooh, look at their apartment.
Yeah, that's I could just watch her build that crib all day.
Build that crib. And you're getting the romance between these two and how happy they are. But when they go to visit her mother on Mother's Day, you find out that she was like the black sheep of the family and that she was kind of like a hardcore punk kid.
The woman trying to get pregnant or yeah. her mother? Okay.
The one trying to get pregnant, and her family, I guess, is a little more conservative.
Sure.
And the sister already has two kids and had stuck around while she was off being wild, I guess. So there's like some resentment there.
Yeah.
She also, you meet her ex-girlfriend. So she was in a relationship with this woman when she was younger in this area, when she was more of like a club kid.
I gotcha.
And this two different personalities that she kind of had. But during all of this leading up to them trying to get pregnant, she witnesses a neighbor woman walk off of her balcony into the street and just break her legs. It's like really grisly scene.
Oh.
And she goes to get Raul to show him. She's freaking out and the person's gone. But then she starts seeing them everywhere. Like, she sees her dragging herself through the hallways in her apartment and all this, and just turning up. So, to say much more would be to spoil it, you know, but, yeah. I think it's really worth checking out. It's Michelle, Garza, Severa, who made it, who I worked in, if you remember Mexican Barbaro.
Yep.
I think she's one of hers.
Yeah.
One of,
I do remember
pieces,
that.
And that was hers, I think. It's pretty, it's not great, but it's so well made. And I know it's the movie they wanted. When you finish it, you're like, this is not like, they made the movie they wanted to make.
Right.
And for the right audience, I think they would be like, oh my God, especially somebody who's maybe on the fence about having kids.
Yeah.
Is in that moment in their life where they're reevaluating like what kind of life they want going forward. If they want to still, you know, kind of run with the shadows of the night and the Pat Benatar crowd.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Or if they want to just like calm down. But she, you get hints that maybe she was never meant to be a mother throughout. And that she's just kind of misguided in doing this.
Mother!
It's pretty dark. Pretty yeah. dark stuff.
So who is the bone woman? Is that who she goes to for
no.
help with the conceiving
I mean,
the baby?
There is...
Is
there
a spoiler to say who the bone woman is?
No.
Okay.
The bone woman is just the lady she saw try to kill herself.
Oh, so what is who... Is that her name?
They. You know what? I think Huesera is probably just a Spanish word.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I know that in where this was released in Spanish-speaking countries, they left the word the bone woman out. So I'm thinking that was put in there just to kind of spice it up for an American audience to be kind of like, ooh, a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's really you know.
So is it like a supernatural type thing or like a
psychological? I think, but it's not deliberately said, but there are intentional moments of spirituality and like ritual, and not just Christian ritual, but some like Santeria type stuff throughout the movie. Mm. But everything is through her perspective. So to say whether what's happening is, you know, legitimately like a supernatural thing.
I went unreliable narrator.
You know, I mean, you could read it either way. You know.
And that is a fun noise for everyone to listen to.
That's why I did it.
Is that your review?
If you like Jacob's Ladder?
Yeah.
Then if you like Jacob's Ladder, I would say check this out because it's very much in that vein.
Do you remember those toys that were called Jacob's Ladder? It was the blocks that were like held together with like these ribbon pieces, and so you would let it like ladder down. Do you remember what I'm talking about, you motherfuckers?
Nope.
God damn it, listener. I don't know how to help you either. It was these little blocks of wood.
That's not a toy I would like, I don't think.
No, we all played with it when we were a kid. Come on. I'm looking it up right now. And
you
I'm,
mean our pee-pee?
I'm glamping. What I'm doing right now is glamping.
I did play with those little like things that you push the blocks around on at the doctor's office.
Oh, yeah. It's mm-hmm. like... Yeah, I remember playing with these toys. So they were very
classic,
fun for a couple minutes.
Right. It was blocks of wood held together with the ribbons, and then they would like spider down each other.
Oh, that's called a Jacob's Ladder?
Yes.
I actually did never play with these. But
oh, fucking hell!
I like
Kelly.
The sound they make. Clack.
I played with other things.
They make clacky sounds.
Yes, it would clack, clack, clack.
I never play with these either, but I've seen people play with them. I've seen videos of it.
Like I said, I played more with the push the little beads of wood around on the ramps. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, on the ramps.
Yeah, you had to follow.
The wire ramps.
Yeah, and it didn't actually do anything. It wasn't a real game.
But do you get to the point you question, like, does anything mean anything when you're playing with that as a kid?
Yeah, well, because you're like, so that's it? It just stops, and then you just go backwards, and there's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's trying to teach you about life.
Yeah, that you're just on this, you're just a little wooden peg with a hole in it, and you have this Calvinistic rod run through you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Throttling you from birth to death with nothing but nonsense in between.
That's a great description of those little toys.
Yeah. What a depressing analogy for a toy.
And then you get a lollipop.
You read a highlights.
Ben and Rev. Inevitably, somebody would circle all the found things already.
Oh my God.
They hated that.
Asshole
kids. As long as I could still read Goofus Gallant and the Timber Toes, I was a happy.
That's true. Those are the important thing. And the jokes.
And the jokes.
Pretty monstrous.
Are you done?
Yep.
Recommend.
I recommend Huesera to people who like Jacob's Ladder and who like kind of a repulsion. The.
So is it a slow burn type movie?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a 90 minute movie. It hits all the traditional turning points, but it's also has that feeling where you're never quite comfortable with the narrative because you're watching somebody maybe lose their mind.
Yeah.
So, but if you like Repulsion and Jacob's Ladder, then yes, recommend. Otherwise, if you watch those two movies and you're like, that's too much for me, then this is not for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, get it on.
Next week, the movie is on Netflix. It's called Phenomena.
Oh.
And you're like, what? And then I say, it's a Spanish movie.
Oh.
I'm so proud that we got through you saying the word phenomenon without anybody singing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting to see if anybody wants to. Okay. Give the listener a little air. Though. I'm giving them some air to do it.
Yeah.
Phenomena.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, it's for the listener.
Oh, okay. You guys are
not. I don't want to do it anymore. All right, Phenomena. Three middle-aged women who, hey, I'm middle-aged, and so this speaks to me.
Yeah, you can relate.
Three middle-aged women who investigate paranormal events are put to the test when their leader, Father Pion, disappears. Inspired by the Real Hepta Group, which is apparently a real group of paranormal investigators in Madrid, I believe.
Word up.
Phenomena. All right.
That should come back. Word up.
I'm trying to bring it back, man. I say it all the time.
Oh, word up.
Oh, word up.
Hey. Well, you spin the wheel?
Oh, yeah, the wheel.
Spin the wheel of watch.
He was about to, like, move on.
I got confused.
Jesus.
Here we go. Let's see who's... Let's see. You spin me right round. There you go.
Kelly!
Oh, yeah.
I'll send this to you.
Please do. Please do send me a text showing Phenomena as the movie, because when a week goes by and I know that I have the roulette movie, but I forget what it is, I go back to your text and I feel very comforted to know that it's there.
And that's why I do it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You're a good friend.
Mm-hmm. The rest of the story.
United States rises 400%. 1991, the United States Police Force is formed. 1997, New York City is a walled maximum security prison. John Carpenter's Escape from New York. Kurt Russell. Van Cleef. Ernest Borgnine. Donald Pleasance. Isaac Hayes. Susan Hubley. Harry Dean Stanton as Brain. Adrian Barbeau as Maggie. John Carpenter's Escape from New York. The ultimate adventure of escape and survival.
Merrill Haggard.
I feel
Don
like
Knotts.
Tom Atkins, right? It's the oldest cast in the world. I feel like Tom Atkins doesn't get enough recognition.
No.
They left him out of the damn trailer. Named somebody. I was like, I never heard of that person.
She was the girl in the Chock Full of Nuts store. She was married to Kurt Russell at the time.
There's your problem. So that lady that got a 3-minute scene gets a shout out and Tom Atkins doesn't?
Right.
Well, was he fucking Kurt Russell?
So they played Priscilla and Elvis in the John Carpenter Elvis TV movie. I think it was a TV movie they made. Oh. And then they got married and they had a baby.
And its head popped off.
Head popped clean off.
Oh no.
I hope it didn't. I think John Carpenter has a real crush on Kurt Russell. He loves putting him in them tight jeans and boots.
Well, yeah, he is a man.
He is a man. He's little.
Is it real
but
that
he is a man?
One of Walt Disney's last words were Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Like he had the whole all the old white men in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Under his spell.
Well, he was in that Bubble Boy movie. The boy in the plastic bubble.
Who was he in that?
No, that was Travolta.
That was Travolta.
No, but he was the
computer wears tennis shoes.
Yeah, the computer wears tennis shoes. Sorry.
He was like, well, Kurt Russell was like a Selena Gomez.
No, I know. I get you now.
Yeah. He was a child actor, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was a Disney property, basically, and he made this movie to rebrand himself as Clint Eastwood.
And well, didn't that was the thing came like before this, right? Or was it, what year was this?
1980, right?
Oh, was this 1981?
Or was it 81?
Yeah. Oh, so it was before the thing.
Yep.
Oh.
This is a lovely movie. This is the first time I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
And what shocked me the most about it was how quiet it is.
It is.
This movie does not scream at you from your television.
That's John Carpenter, man.
It's very quiet.
He is not a bombastic nice sound effects kind of dude. Like, that's one of the things.
Yeah. I just thought of Shaggy when I said that.
Bombastic.
I feel like that's a hallmark of his, where it's like a lot of very quiet.
I don't think I'd ever realized it until I saw an action movie by him, and I'm like, wait a minute, this movie's so quiet.
Yeah.
He's like a Hitchcock guy. He's more, he calls it an action movie, but really it's still a lot of suspense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's true, like with all of John Carpenter's movies. I do like that. He's just like, he'll let a scene doesn't have to be full of dialogue. Yeah. It's like, it's enough to have the greatest cinematographer who ever lived making it, Dean Koontz.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that you don't need a lot of dialogue.
And I think a hallmark of John Carpenter movies are the characters as opposed to like the big filmmaking.
Yeah.
The character, everybody in this movie is so memorable.
Oh yeah.
Well, this is like his crew. Like this is John Carpenter with like,
it's true.
It feels like all of his muses.
Yeah, it's his cronies.
He's comfortable with.
You know, James Cameron did a lot of the artwork that you see. Like, you know how they're flying over in the beginning of the movie. Like, you know, Kurt Russell is recruited by Lee Van Cleef to go rescue the president, played by Donald Pleasance, who has crashed. And now
he got out of his big red egg.
The prison colony that is New York City.
I love the future of the past.
Yeah.
The idea that the presidents can be saved in this orange egg.
I'm like, this is not Star Trek. More you're not shooting Orson. Off an escape pod. That's just going to land on the ground.
You know what, though? Isn't there a presidential escape pod of some kind?
I'm sure there is. Round and it's red.
But I don't think it looks like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Mork's spaceship.
Yeah, they don't mark it super, like...
Don't put the president's fucking seal on it and be like, put an arrow on it that says, fucking president's in
there
here.
There should have been a scene where he had to act like he wasn't the president. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're the president, man. He's like, I am not the president.
Get your ass out of here.
This movie could at times bordered on camp.
Oh, I think it went
well
right
into camp. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was for sure.
I loved the camp of this movie.
I loved
movie.
It. Like, it took it so seriously. That's why there was no like nods that this is a ridiculous pod that he's going into.
Well, I think, have you seen Dark Star? The it's like one of, I think it might be Carpenter's first movie.
It was him and Dan O'Bannon. Yeah.
And you can see their sense of humor in the effects is, I think that there was some laughs about everything in this art direction.
Like, and just the way
minute Kurt Russell was like, my name is Steve.
Yeah.
Everybody had
but
to
just
laugh.
The way they treated the president, tying him to the wall and shooting him with the wig on.
I love the wig on. Was Donald Pleasant's. Apparently, he was like, I should wear a blonde wig.
I love that.
You know, it's great. It's
what a great, fun, stupid movie.
It's a good time.
It's a great time.
I love this concept when it was like, crime is crazy. We just walled off fucking New York.
It's the Purge of 1981.
I said that, man.
Yeah, especially when they're reading the thing. That. It sounds like the Purge. I'm sure it's inspired by this to an extent.
You said that. Yeah, Amy said it.
We said it at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Didn't know it.
And I love this idea. This is a great idea to like put world, like let's build this out a little bit more. Let's talk about what it's like to be in there. How do you get supplies in there? What is it about the people that work on the outside? How do you get in there and infiltrate it? Like, I love this idea.
There should be a show. Yeah.
There's a novelization of the movie that has the heist in it where Kurt Russell does the heist.
That he gets in trouble for.
Yep. And they explain that also the... Everyone that still lives on New York, the reason it's a prison colony is there's still these gases that make everyone who's there a little insane.
Oh, yeah. And the crazies get the most of it.
Yeah, because they're there. It's gas that from the Russians when they attacked the United States in World War III.
See, they just kind of say World War III and then never tell you what it was.
Well, there used to be scenes in the movie they had cut because they didn't test well. Of the heist and all that stuff, and they cut it down, and that's again, you don't have that. This is the thing about a lot of movies now. You don't really need to know those details.
I think it was a perfect runtime. It wasn't like bloated or anything. It didn't. Yeah. Other movies would have given the backstory of how we got to this point.
Yeah, like Future Force.
Yeah, all it
there
says
would have been a love
like,
story in it.
Yeah, the narrator, it just says like, oh. My hands are prison colony now. That's all you need.
Yeah, this is a great. I feel like this is like the top echelon of all of those sort of B, C, and D,
like Bronx Warriors.
Movies. Like exactly like that. Like this is like this is the good version, and then you get. But it is still kind of one of those movies. You know what I mean? It's definitely schlocky, but in like such an artistic way.
Well, the pains that were taken, like that's what I was going to say before, was in that opening sequence when Kurt Russell gets in the glider.
Yeah.
And they tow him out and he gets dropped and you see him looking. It says down view and you see the green grid where it's like a 3D computer model of New York. And I said to Amy, it reminded me of Peter Pan's Flight. But the reason it reminds me so much of that ride at Disney is because those are buildings. That's not, they couldn't afford to have a computer generated.
They're like models.
They were models with glow in the dark tape. Yeah, basically, I can.
You definitely could tell that they were models.
But the sets were so great, though.
Yeah, I love how the filmmaking is kind of crunchy.
Yeah.
And it was like just movie making magic because they had like paintings of backdrops and stuff.
Old
James
school.
Cameron. Yeah,
it's just old fashioned, like pure movie making to me.
Was anyone else creeped out by the plane smashing into the building?
Oh, I said that too. He's coming right up on the Twin Towers, and I'm like, oh,
this is the Air Force One when they first crash it.
But it looked
like don't do that.
It looked like those little model planes you get as a kid.
Oh yeah, it did.
You know what I'm talking about? It was
like solid planes.
The foam core.
Oh, kind the foam one. Yeah, the foam ones.
You know, and I told Amy, I was like, they had to have the conversation of picking what part of the skyline to crash into.
Yeah. That's the reason the terrorists chose it. It's a large, visible.
But I was surprised they didn't choose the Twin Towers. I guess because they needed it later for the story because it was the point he had to land.
Well, yeah, but it was getting so close to it.
It was very close. Mm-hmm. It was right next door.
And I love how when he lands on one of the towers, how black it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no stars or anything. It's just a black
pollution.
Yeah. And when he walks in the elevator, it's just a black hole. Void.
And he went in there.
I like to think that was just a shed they were using as an elevator, and they just had a couple of guys pushing the doors like on Star Trek.
It probably was.
Yeah.
It was, you can tell like the budget wasn't the most.
Like $6 million, I think. Something like that.
But they did a lot with their budget, but you can see where they cut corners a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to pay for all the
$6 million
chandeliers on Isaac Hayes' car. Obviously, we talk about this all the time. Sorry. All this riff tracks, and I'm watching these old trash 80s movies, because I delight in it, like the 70s and 80s. I love it. And there's something about watching those movies, the ones I'm talking about, the C, D, E, F, G, and beyond, like action dude movies that are trying to emulate this, and they're just made by stunted children because because all the same things are present in Escape from New York, and somehow I don't want to laugh at it.
That's the thing. I think that's the greatness. That's the difference between talent and hack.
Yeah.
Is that John Carpenter is making the same kind of movie, but him and the crew that he has are so good, and they actually have a real vision for it. It's not just a cash grab.
Well, it still has that childlike sense of wonder in this.
But it's not that like 14-year-old boy, like, I got to get it, and I'm going to get the girl, and I'm going to do it. It's just like this prepubescent.
I know it's like elevated, but you can still
that I noticed. Get
that sense that a teenage boy wrote this movie.
Yeah.
It's so joyous.
Yeah. And it's smart.
Yeah.
The thing that at first I was like, why, if Isaac Hayes is supposed to be the villain
of the Duke of New York.
Mm-hmm. He's the Duke. He's the head, but he's bad at his job. He's not a good dude. And I was like, this villain sucks. But then I was like, no, Amy, this villain is great because he's just stupid enough to fuck some shit up for you.
Right.
But most criminals that get caught, they're stupid.
Yeah.
Criminals are stupid by and large. So they gave us a stupid criminal.
Yeah. Well, like Freddy's backstory, like the gases makes sense. That's what I thought. Because everybody is kind of stupid on this. Little island because of all the pollution.
Because they've just been breathing all this stuff that Russia dumped on us.
But I did also, I got that where it was just like, this is someone who in this world has now created like this persona for themselves. And because everybody else is just kind of even dumber and crazier.
Like Negan.
You know, he doesn't have a lot going on. He just kind of rides around. I'm the Duke of New York.
Yeah. He's the smartest of the dummies.
Yeah.
Because, like, those crazies, they've kind of regressed almost to
the subway
an animalistic state.
Yeah.
It's always the subway.
Although, like, who are the Chuds?
I think when you meet, what's her damn name?
Who?
Adrian Barbeau's character, Maggie, and Harry Dan Stanton's character.
Harry Dan Stanton.
What did I say?
You said Harry Dan Stanton.
Harry Dan Stanton.
Did some of the gas get to you too?
I ain't into meeting every Harry Dan Stanton. But his brain. At first, I like
Harry Dan Steen sounds like a lumberjack that comes in there like, oh, you want to stay out? Here comes Harry Dan Steen.
Harry Dan.
Hairiest jack in all of Canada.
Is he related to Squirrely Dan?
Squirrely Dan.
Squirrely Dan.
Okay. Oh, you know. So.
Not so bad in you.
Brain and Maggie are in love.
You know, no, she was given to him.
A lot of mullets in this.
Her hair was so upsetting to me.
She's always got that it's going on, though, much. In those early movies, though.
But I feel like they build to those two.
She
they build to her.
The curls.
Well, she does.
Seven think Spanish about it. Angel in woman. This island, they don't have any access to hair care.
You're right.
So it fits with the setting.
You're right.
Yeah. But yeah, she does. There is, she, like, despite her being sort
she
of
does
a,
care about.
A piece of shothole, she eventually, I think, grows to care about. You know, Brain.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming necessarily. I thought it was a nice touch. That was a mature moment for the movie when later Brain is killed, that she could flee with the rest of them. She decides to just take a bunch of pot shots at Duke as he's running her down.
And slow him down and try to prevent him from...
Right. But I think there was even more of it was about Brain was dead and she actually did love him.
She didn't care about anything anymore.
Right.
So she's about to be alone without a purpose in this world. And that's probably not great. And she betrayed the dude that however she ended up with him. So it's probably not also going to be a great future. But I agree. It felt very much, you know, as an emotional kind of connection.
Yeah.
And that was right after Ernest Borgnine ate it, too.
Yeah, his character was great.
I was kind of surprised at how expendable so many these characters were.
I was like, man, you killed them all like, off before you got. I was like, how are they going to get? How is he going to talk these other people off the island?
Like,
he didn't have to.
He didn't have to.
Kurt Russell's real life wife character. I thought she was going to play a bigger part in this as the person that like.
She thought she was going to have a career after that.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, what?
I'm being bad.
Was her name
People with Bryson? A name like that, you're not going to be a star. What was it called? What's her name?
Season Hubley?
Season Hubley.
Season Hubley.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. That's not a movie star name.
Well, Season's fine. I don't have a problem
but
with her
I
name.
Was just surprised at how quickly that she was like off. It was like kind of
she was just dragged out and I think
it was like
to
horror
death.
Movies.
What gives you the stakes?
She did not have a terrible career. She I did. Hope she's she happy. Does have 52 credits. It looks like she stopped acting in 99. But... You know,
yeah.
Some murder she writes in there.
She was being a nepo baby, but she was being a nepo baby in this case.
You know what, though, there's something to be said about a bunch of people
I'm
who
being bad.
Already
I'm being
like
a terrible
each other
person.
Making a movie.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
I'm being bad.
You're so bad.
So my God, I'm a shady little troll.
No, season Hubley.
People,
they
season
don't
Hubley, or even unseasoned Hubley.
She's so bland.
I like it just by itself.
Celestial season Hubley.
I don't know why they call this stuff Hubley Helper.
Helper, I hardly know her.
So stupid. The I want to cars this movie, but it's not unfun for me to do. I like living in this world. I like thinking about what it means.
It's a comic booky world. It very much lays the groundwork for Big Trouble in Little China.
You can cars movies even though they're good, but it doesn't make you angry.
And listener,
the carsing of it.
To cars something is what Andy did to the movie Cars, which is like, how do they fuck? Why do they have doors if
what do they
no
eat?
People exist?
Why you know? Do they have faces? Yeah.
Right. And it spirals. But in this case, I feel like it spirals creatively where I'm like, oh, what it would be like to live inside?
Yeah.
What do they give them? How do they give it to them? Do they get food from the air? I don't know. Things I thought about.
Yeah. That's the best thing. I like the world building that's really just like the shadows of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without having to be spoon fed all that.
Yeah. Like you could cars the fact that they had stage shows still. Yeah. That was a nice touch.
It was.
The lyrics were a little dark. That's how you met Cabby.
That's what I said. I was like, that is some dark shit. Right?
Yeah, it's all like stab somebody in New York, rape somebody here. It's New York. Why not? But Cabby's
like,
watching that show.
Yeah, it was like an old timey vaudevillian show.
Yeah.
The guys dress up like ladies.
Like ladies,
But Amy pointed something out to me that was really interesting. And I had never thought about it before because I've watched this movie several times, that Cabby was there before the war. Yeah. He stayed.
No, he was. Yeah, he was there before they walled it off and turned it into a prison colony.
He'd been driving that same cab for 30 years.
So was he in fact a prisoner?
I think he just got left
behind. Or is he a volunteer to stay? Because that's all he's ever known. Because it had only been a prison colony for like 9 years or something.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does lend itself. Again, it's great world building. It gives you questions to ask. It makes you think about the character. Yeah.
Kind of paints him as like a compassionate, or like maybe even like, I'm not going anywhere, this is my home kind of character without them having to tell you.
Or that. He was a horrific pedophile, like kid murderer. You don't know.
That's what I used to say was, I said he was there for the worst crimes because he's the most charming character.
Yeah.
But Amy was like, no, he wasn't there because he was a prisoner. Stayed. That's the conversation we were having. I was like, he's a kiddie diddler. That's why he's here. And you're like, no, he wouldn't have been prosecuted because he's been a cabbie for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit. You totally opened that character to me, thinking about him completely differently.
And it was the same cab. Yeah, he wasn't a prisoner before because he wouldn't get his cab back.
Kind of became like the John C. Reilly character in Skull Island.
Yeah.
To me. Apparently they figured out how to run things on steam, like cars and shit, because they don't have gas.
That's your brain. That's Harry Dean Stanton.
He's figured out how to do it. Is it easy to do? Can you run your car on steam?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
I'm sure you could.
Okay.
I don't know.
Apparently you can just pour like used
probably not
cooking oil in your car and you'd be great.
I mean, not, I don't
there
know
still
that,
be a
like,
French fry in it.
I don't think our cars would run on steam. Yeah. No. But you could build a car that runs on steam. Either.
And maybe older cars would be easier to convert. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the science.
But this is the stuff that starts getting in my head. I'm agreed. Like, why do you leave the subway dormant? Like, make the subway work again if you can.
Well, that's where the crazies are.
Well, yeah, they're all a bunch of crazy.
No, I get that they're down people. There, but I would just try to make it a great place to live. Who do you think's living in Trump Tower?
But Duke's the smartest man in all of New York.
Well, then they're fucked.
Yeah, you gotta remember that. And he put chandeliers on his car.
Was that Evil Ed, by the way?
No, but he looks like him. Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, his little flunky?
Sounded, yeah, he was exactly awesome. Like Evil Ed. He was great.
If you want to see like one of the great physical henchman performances of all time.
His countdown is great.
Yeah. He's like so precise in every little thing he does when he first enters the room and like hanging off of the door jam and all of those moments. He pulls so much focus. I have to look.
They somehow figured out how to make hair gel because his hair's all sticking up.
I think it's just dirt.
Yeah, he's just filthy. It's a very Mad Max character.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Frank Doubleday Romero is the character. The actor passed away in 2018.
Oh, and so if you notice too, there are a number of little shout outs to other filmmakers. There is somebody on the phone named Cronenberg.
Oh, yeah.
I think even calling the people the crazies is a shout out to Romero's The Crazies.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
So we haven't talked about Tom Atkins. He was basically
just like a flunky.
He's like a second or third in command at the security center.
First character on screen.
And
he was fine. He didn't have much to do in this role.
He didn't, but he was there.
Yeah.
He's still his favorite performance for me is probably
Halloween 3.
Halloween 3.
That's a great one. There's a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I don't know that I knew who Lee Van Cleef was.
Yeah, well, now
I didn't know who it was either, but his face... A lot of good faces in this movie.
I was like, I'm not sure. He looks kind of familiar.
I thought he was Uncle Leo at first from Jerry.
I could see why you think that.
I love that guy. I love the character. I love the like sexual tension between him and Snake.
Do you actually remember what I made you watch for a few dollars more?
Is he in that?
He's the villain.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
In The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly too, right? Wasn't he in that?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. In The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, he's the villain. Sorry. Yeah. I mixed that up. So I didn't make you watch that.
He's the bad.
Like, how mad are you at me right now?
For not knowing who he is? Not at all.
We did watch. Have you seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Well, yeah, we watched it, right?
I made you watch for a few dollars
more. We did it for a few dollars more.
I thought I've seen it. I don't know. He's great. I love him. I like
he isn't for a few dollars more. He's a hero in for a few dollars more.
For a few dollars more.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the colonel.
So there you go. There you go. So you know him.
I know him so well.
Well, that's what's great, because you have Kurt Russell doing Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, and then that makes sense to throw Van Cleef against him.
Do you think that's why Christian Bale did that?
I think it's exactly why.
Yeah, in Batman?
I think he probably stated it specifically and definitively.
I mean, somewhere. I know he's doing a growlier thing, but like, what's with all the whispering?
Where's Rachel?
He doesn't need to raise his voice because he's so tough.
Hey,
thought you were dead. Yeah, you know, Donald Pleasance was fantastic. I mean, this is a good movie.
It's a good movie, man.
You are the Duke of New York!
What was he? What? I can't remember A-1. What he was saying.
A number one!
Well, his whole plot, the plot with the president is just so weird to me.
It is weird.
It's just that he has a tape that he has to show the world.
It's because of Watergate is why.
I know, but
there.
It was just such a thin.
This very specific tape has to get apart to
real easily
and, a summit to prevent, I guess, the annihilation of the.
And that's the only copy they
have.
That's the only copy they have.
It's the only copy they have. But you know who's a petty bitch? Snake Plissken.
He is. But I love that. Fucking love.
But what about the fate of our country?
He don't give a fuck.
He doesn't.
Snake knows that. This president is a total con artist. Like, you know, it's a very cynical look at, like, you got to remember what's on this tape is probably really a threat that we have it. We have this information, not really about preventing war. That's what they told him.
They're not very clear about what it is either.
No, because when he finds
about
it,
nuclear fusion,
they plays it. There's like, it sounds like they're reading formulas or something on it when he plays the tape. So I think them playing it was. I think it was actually like a threat.
That's how I saw it too. It was like, we're going to, it's like one of those, we are going to inspire peace by having nuclear weapons and making you too afraid to fight with us.
Oh,
that's the way I took it.
Yeah.
But they also don't spell that out. It's really, you have to infer it, but he was making this for an audience that really was fresh off of Watergate. And it was almost, if you went any further with explaining, it would have felt probably like hitting you over the head with it.
Yeah, I know it fits the tone of the movie, but
it was a goofy.
It was just goofy.
It was a little hard to follow. I'm like, wait, he needs to be at the summit. Why? Because he has this tape?
By a certain time, too.
By a certain time.
And if he can't get there, they're going to leave.
And you can't tell them that he's been fucking kidnapped or something?
Well, there are a lot of inferences you can
tell exit.
But I just love the review when he finally plays the tape. And he just looked that look on his face. He just looks down at it. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, because Snake Plissken hands it to him, and they don't check it to see what's on it. And what he's left with him with is Cabby's old tape.
But just that look he gives.
For Charlestoning.
It was just really good like facial acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like that look.
Great face acting. Yeah.
I love the exchange between him and Malk or whatever his name is. The Hauk. Malk. Chocolate Malk. Lee Van Cleef's character.
We
at the
leave
end.
It open for a little, like, come over to my place. I got some more jobs for you. I honestly think.
Oh, you thought there was a sexual thing happening?
I don't know. But
in the beginning, he promised to kill him. He said, when I come back here, I'm going to kill you.
Listen.
And he also said, call me Snake. But when he came home. Van Cleef's like, are you going to kill me? And he says, I don't know yet. And then he's like, okay, Snake. And he's like, call me Plissken.
But then Hal kind of gives him a little smile like, you bitch, I see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think they are flirting.
Flip-flop.
Well, honestly, I love Lee Van Cleef.
I mean, just look at Caressa. Who is not going to flirt with him?
Even with the eye patch. Yeah. You know, I don't like tight pants on a man.
And the boot. Don't forget the boot. I mean, he was
the boots.
And the shirt with the zippers on the shoulders.
Yeah, I love
it. Was peak Russell? No. Where he's Santa Claus? Where he's the Silver Fox? Yeah. That's peak Russell.
Daddy Santa Claus.
I prefer.
Zaddy. That's Zaddy. What they're saying now. Oh, you were saying like the Bad Boys, the video game.
Bad dudes.
Bad dudes. Yeah. The look of the bad dudes.
Yeah, bad dudes. Clearly. Except you got the spiky hair, bad dude.
Well, you're also are you rescuing like a president's daughter or something?
It's
in that
the
game?
Daughter.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, yeah, bad dudes. But you know what's based right off of this? Metal Gear.
I don't know if it was the president's daughter, because isn't that what Escape from L.A. is?
Yeah, I think that's the president's daughter, but I also think that's what happens in Bad Dudes.
It might be in Bad Dudes.
Bad Dudes!
I can't even remember
Bad Dudes! Yeah.
A big blue blonde girl being hung, like, from his... tied to a string from the ceiling.
We're talking about the arcade game Bad Dudes. Yeah. In case anyone's wondering,
I
kind of
remember that.
It's probably the same girl that gets eaten by the Rampage monster.
Oh, I love Rampage. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Y'all want to play some Rampage?
I would.
You need to find it.
Good movie too.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see that.
Great movie. Yeah. Great monster movie.
I've not seen it. Everybody
there's a funny Ivanka and Jared stand-in characters.
Malin Ackerman is so great as the Ivanka, like as the villain. It's really a good monster movie.
It's really funny.
Very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, the
I love it.
But the two of them are so they really like,
they make that movie a little bit. I think like, so. I agree. It's very fun.
We're still recording too, and I totally forgot. I was just in the moment, guys.
Yeah.
Are we done? Escape from New York was very, very, very bueno.
I'll escape to New York.
Yeah.
Anytime.
All the boys in it were wonderful.
And Adrienne Barbeau too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, she's got a rack.
She does.
And her husband loved to show it off in his movies.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of every show, we say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Hi.
Patreon.com/NOTLP if you want to know what that means. We're going to start with, sorry guys, like kind of, it's Kelly's favorite.
Yeah.
You know, we're not supposed to have favorites.
Well,
but we have favorites.
I'm sorry. This one.
She's kind of my favorite too.
She does
Elise!
Things for me.
Hi,
I can't wait to see you.
And have you do things for me?
Mm-hmm.
Alyssa. You're my favorite though, really. Brandon and Emily.
You can't keep saying everyone's
know,
your favorite.
I know, I'm kidding. You're
no
favorite.
One's your favorite.
Jeffel.
It's just disingenuous.
Iona Goodwin.
You're going to hurt someone's feelings.
I had a great one. Dr. Brian.
I mean, I know it comes from a good place initially, but you got to think about the ripple effect.
I hope Dr. Brian is using that picture of the wax Ace Ventura that I sent him. That is horrifying. I hope he is using that for good and not evil.
Yeah.
He's using
well,
it.
Well, you can do it.
No, I mean, like, don't scare people. we got Bill. Bill's up popping all over the place.
All over the place.
Bill Farner. We got Frosted Blakes.
Mm.
And Blaine Yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Jordache Jeans. I don't know why I say it like that. Sorry. Paul. Jeremy Cassie and Gamora. Ernie. Dave Siebert.
And
Monica.
Yeah, boy.
We did it, Ken.
We love you all equally.
Yeah.
All of you equally.
We love Elise as much as we love anyone. We love everyone exactly the same amount. I want you kids.
Sure, Dad.
I want you guys. You get
sure,
1 hour
Dad.
With the Genesis tonight.
You can all be the coolest.
You gotta let Monica play Altered Beast. Bill.
Who gets played bad dude?
Bill, you gotta let Monica play two-player on Altered Beast. Don't hog it.
Well, that's wonderful. We'll be back next week with another Scream King.
Mm-hmm. Chosen by someone other than ourselves.
Yeah.
Choose
and
wisely.
I gotta
please.
Choose them so they can choose.
Choose wisely.
I'm the chooser of the chooser.
Don't fuck it up.
I'm the decider.
You'd be so mad.
I apologize for how loud this is maybe gonna
We're
get
gonna
when
figure
this music
it out.
Comes up. So,
all
sorry.
Right, bye.
Oh. Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn. Of life.